This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 23 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. In today's episode, our hosts discuss the kinky coming out process. Here's our hosts, Woody and the Beast.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another episode of the Kinky Cast. Here, sitting across the desk, is the Beast. How are you doing, Beast?
I'm good, Woody. I'm very good. It's a sunny, sunny day.
Well, next week, we got an interesting show coming up. We went off to SELF in Atlanta, the Southeast Leather Fest. That was quite a time.
Oh, it was quite a time. It was eye candy and thought-provoking. I come up with some definitely new outlooks on the leather lifestyle and the leather community. Positive ones.
And that will be on next week's show, because we are very busily compiling all the interviews and all the things. And there's so many things that we have to present to the listeners that we're going to put it up on a special page. We'll have a compilation show, and then all the interviews you can hear separately. So it'll be quite an event for the Kinky Cast.
And we got some great interviews that come out of SELF with vendors and contestants and just volunteers and just a whole assortment.
I had an interesting time. I sat down on the boot black stand, and I recorded the entire sequence of getting boot blacked, and I was given running play-by-play by a mentor that had teach the person that was doing my boots. It was very interesting. Things I never knew about it. And treating the leather. And, you know, they'll, you do know that they'll rub your leather pants while you're still in them.
I was wearing my leather pants when Boy River did my pants for me one night. It was a enlightening experience.
Well, it's all good. So that's next week on the Kinky Cast. But this week, we're going to talk about coming out. And what the hell does that mean anyway?
Well, that is a broad, broad topic. Do you come out to yourself? Do you come out to others? Do you come out to the world? Who are you coming out to?
Well, we have a couple different thoughts on that. We have the social media generation, which is going on today, where every picture that they've ever taken is immediately posted. And some of these pictures could be a little interesting for your future.
Well, we had a case last year before, teacher in California that had done some one or two pornographic movies. She later went back and finished her teaching degree and was teaching, and her kids found the pornography. Short story, no more career.
And she actually used the money she made from the porn to pay for her education degree.
Totally was a trying to make better for herself, trying to work a job that paid a decent living wage, and it come back to bite her big time.
So when we come out, we have to actually open our brain and decide how we're going to do this, not just put a bunch of pictures up and hope they go away, because they never go away. Once on the internet, they are out there floating in cyberspace forever.
Forever. And that wasn't always the case with a videotape. You could do a videotape, and that videotape could be a single copy, or it could be 100 copies. But over the years, those could disappear. Internet, people archive it, people save it, people can drag it up years later. We can ask some politicians about their internet conversations and how long they have haunted them.
And the search engines are very good at finding this stuff, too, so we'll be real careful on that. Let's talk a little bit about coming out to ourselves. Now, what does that mean? So you start to feel that vanilla sex is interesting, but there's got to be more.
Well, I think that was for most of us that we realized that our sexual interests were either more keen or bent in different directions than that of our peers. And we struggled with that. We struggled with it for years, many of us, while we tried to make sense of all of that.
And then one day, something went twang, and away we went.
It went twang. We met just the right images or words or thoughts. And all of a sudden we realized, that's me. But that doesn't mean that you have still owned it. It could still rest deep, deep in your personal closet.
Well, in my case, I knew I had a kinky side back there. I did like tying kids up when I was little and things like that. And the whole idea of restraint was all very sexy to me. And as I was starting to play sexually, the idea of silk scarves and things was always there. And so I guess I've always been a little kinky there in my vanilla sex world.
Well, your story is fairly common to our generation.
Mm-hmm.
When we still played cowboys and Indians in real time instead of the video game version of cowboys and Indians. And I've talked to many a young lady that enjoyed being the damsel in distress and always being the one that got caught.
Yes, it's funny. I remember that when I was quite a bit younger. There was one girl on the block that always seemed to submit to that sort of position.
Readily, willingly, and with just the most thin hint of objection, just enough to make the drama.
And of course, we didn't know any better because we were that young.
But the newer generation, I think, the post-social media generation, that we have our images are coming much more from other people's creations, and they are striking our fancy. Video games and the movies, not much is taboo anymore in the cinema. You can see just about every type of image known. Watching Game of Thrones, you have a range of sexual activities shown that range from very mild and tame to very intense and over the top. And this is what our children today are seeing. So it's going to be interesting tomorrow what the new citizens of our communities are going to be like and what they're going to say were their watershed moments.
So with these changes going on, and we've seen these before, certainly the older generation had a lot of taboos of printed photos distributed through bookstores, that sort of thing, sometimes magazines with provocative pictures. And then as that moved to the internet, it got to be a little bit easier flow. I know that when broadband internet came out and I had the ability to go and search for lots of things, and this is back in the 90s, I found bondage.com back then. It resonated with me. It was like, oh, this is about me.
Yeah, it was a enlightening experience for many of us to realize that the written word that many of us had read and the thoughts we have fantasized about, all of a sudden we see live people, live real people doing and enjoying this. It becomes much more obtainable for each of us when we have seen those images.
Real honest-to-God kinksters.
Real honest-to-God kinksters, and they were mostly amateurs. And I have this thing for amateur porn, and they were amateurs. Most of them, if they got paid only for their time and trouble, not because they were trying to earn a living at it. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very interesting to see some of this stuff coming out those days. The reactions were very real.
I know that when I would see a well-done photograph of a damsel in distress tied up on a cross, it did make my heart go a little faster than normal. And I said, who are these people and where are these people? And the good thing is, back then, we had the ability to search in bondage.com to find kinksters in your community.
The internet opened up that search. I remember my first contacts came from the back of personal magazines. Many of our listeners may remember this. Many more may not. Contact magazines, you would have a coded ad. You would address your envelope, put a stamp on it, put it in a bigger envelope, send it to a forwarding service, and maybe, just maybe, the person who was in the ad still had the same thoughts they did the 6 months or year prior to sending the ad in for publication, and you would get something back, and then you would start actually a snail mail correspondence that could last for months until you could arrange a meeting.
Takes the whole spontaneity out of it, doesn't it?
It was totally gone. You had to think, and thinking's not always bad. The spontaneity of the post-social media generation really worries me sometimes on how society's going to cope with this in the long term. All this information, what's going to happen in 20 or 30 years when the president of the United States has posted some colorful or suggestive or provocative comments or photos on his Facebook many years earlier? What's this going to be like?
There's no doubt that the mainstream is getting an acceptable level of this right now, but there's always the conservatives and the religious right that are going to shame you for this. And they're going to shame you publicly, they're going to shame you at work, and they're going to shame you out of public office.
And we've seen that. Anthony Weiner, I believe, is a name that comes to mind real quickly.
Anthony Weiner's Weiner.
Yeah. Anthony's not the one that was cruising for gay sex. That was somebody else entirely, wasn't it?
Well, that was Hagerty and those guys.
Yeah. Weiner was just showing his Weiner. It was on a format that could be forwarded around the world in seconds. And guess what? She forwarded it.
Yeah. And the thing is, it was pretty vanilla stuff. It was, you know, just a hardened dick inside underwear.
And he was only cruising for people that supposedly were consensual to his comments. And yet, it went totally, totally sideways on him.
And took his career with it.
And took his career with it. And his family's suffered. And that's the danger of social media that I don't think many people realize.
Also, the popular media right now is still running on the old one man, one woman situation. Polyamory is starting to become popular in TV shows and things, but you let somebody in the public eye go fishing for attractions, they are going to get judged in the traditional mode, not in the new mode.
This is so, so, so true, and we have an evolving culture, but it's evolving, and it evolves slowly. That's probably a good thing, but people, the polyamory is becoming an issue. I'm poly. I have three partners, and don't you think that takes some juggling with my career and my public life on which partner shows up at which thing, and all of a sudden my coworkers realize, oh, there was this woman, and then there was this woman, and then there's this woman, and their heads are starting to spin, and they just don't get it.
Oh, but they're friends.
They're friends who I'm happening to have public displays of affection with.
Ah, yes.
Well, and that complicates it.
And that does twist some people's heads completely around.
It does.
And like you, I'm in a polyamorous situation also. Keeping my ladies straight in the public eye is always interesting. I do have a wife, and so she is my official public person when I have to go to an event or something, and everybody knows that. And these other ladies that if they accompany me are friends, and I'm helping them out or whatever, according to the vanilla laws of the land.
Well, I took one of my long-term partners home at Thanksgiving this past year, and we just totally dodged the questions about who she was. She's a friend. She's a very dear, very close friend, and I wasn't any more or less affectionate towards her than my other partner, who I've been with, and who was also, and my family's already met, who was with me on the same trip. We just let them wander. It's my relationships. I don't feel obligation to define it according to their standards or their requirements. I'm not doing anything that is designed to make them feel uncomfortable or difficult. It's my life.
Stay tuned. There's more KinkyCast.
Jason here with the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom. You know, life hands us so many choices. Do this, do that, and all the possibilities that those choices may bring us. So you've decided that you want to take a step that may or may not change your life forever, or possibly someone else's life forever. Kinky people all around the world are faced every day with the possibility of people they love, or maybe even a coworker or a friend, possibly a neighbor, finding out about their personal choices in life. Now you're faced with decisions on what and how to approach this in your life. Why not make sure to have someone with an objective view on these things we face in our own personal journey? Visit the Kink Aware Professional list on the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom's webpage and look for someone that you can talk to in your area. Don't try and go it alone. There are people out there trained and willing to talk to you about your choices on how to handle not only what you are thinking about doing, but what you may have to deal with after the fact when you make that decision. NCSfreedom.org is where you want to point your web browser. That's the NCSfreedom.org website. Click on the Kink Aware Professional list and find someone in your area today to talk to. Are you a professional that is kinky or possibly just kink aware? Find out how you too can be on the Kink Aware Professional list by visiting the Kink Aware Professional list at NCSfreedom.org.
I noticed that in some of the young adults out there right now, they're still practicing this very stringent monogamy plan, you know, to where you're either with me or you're with them, but you're not with both sort of thing. And I watch them, and so it's like serial polyamory. They're with this one person, and they move away from them. Then they're with this other person, they move away from them. I know I did that for years until I figured it out.
Serial monogamy, it has a name. You're with the person you're with entirely when you're with them. When you're not, you're not.
And you mean on an hourly basis?
Sometimes it's a daily basis.
Okay.
Or for the evening even. And that's, I don't get it. My version of poly doesn't work like that. But I call myself poly. I'm not monogamous at all.
Mm-hmm.
But coming out to my family, I haven't. My sex life, sex is not a topic that my family shares, ever. So why should my sex life be discussed any more or any less than anybody else's sex life in the family?
It's interesting when you take two women to a family function and you just let them wonder. I like that idea.
Well, and they haven't inquired any deeper. I guess they may figure that they know I've got some different views that they may not want to know the more.
You could look at your non-poly family and say, so how's your sex life? Well, they're probably not going to say that to you. They might think it, but they're probably not going to say it to you.
That's probably true. But my family is interesting in that my grandparents were married when they were 15, 16, stayed married following the model of their generation till one of them passed away. My parents got married at 16 and 17. They're still married. Never strayed, at least that anybody knew of. So my brother, he married his high school, well, actually his middle school sweetheart. They're still married. So I come from a very monogamous, traditional background.
They broke the mold on you.
They did indeed. But that just shows you that you can be kinky and perverted and twisted, and doesn't matter where you come from. It's all internal.
And so all the examples that your family, your brothers had, did not affect you in the way it affected them.
Hallelujah, thankfully not.
At Self, Lauren Berthelsen did a comedy routine, which is quite funny. And he says, when somebody asks what the kinky lifestyle is all about, he just answers, it's like marriage, only consensual.
I remember that line indeed. And Lauren's whole routine, I think we're going to have that up in a week or so.
Yeah, that's in next week's show, yep.
So be sure to check it out. He's a very, very funny, funny man with some interesting takes. And from what I've gathered, he comes from a fairly conventional background and has found his own way.
He has. He is a gay man from the Midwest, from the upper Midwest, which is extremely WASP, where you don't want to know anything about anybody else's sexuality.
What was it he said? You just don't ask. You could walk through the middle of the house naked and
on fire.
On fire. And the only question is, have you had breakfast yet?
That's right.
But we won't steal any more of his lines.
A very funny man. Definitely worth hearing in next week's show.
Woody, have you come out to the world?
I have come out to some of my friends, some of my close friends, and I've been very harshly judged by some of my close friends.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And we have decided that that is a topic we will no longer talk about, which is unfortunate.
That's unfortunate because that limits a friendship anytime you limit the topics.
Yeah, when you have boundaries, absolutely. I have other friends that I'm completely out with, and they're completely out with me. I have a gay friend who is my best friend, and he and I can talk about any subject, and there's never a boundary.
Well, that's good. In my case, I don't do vanilla friends.
Well,
it's a hard limit.
It's easier because you don't have to remember where you are.
That's true, and I find that their backgrounds usually just doesn't suit my interest in my conversations. So I have found that over the years, any vanilla friends have been replaced by kinky friends. So I never came out to vanillas at all.
It's always interesting having a dinner party at the house and having a table full of vanillas, and you have nothing to say to them.
I have noticed that when I go to family gatherings, that it's always a lot of silence because what topic is acceptable? Because I don't understand so many of their topics. I just don't understand them.
And it is such a pleasure to sit at a dinner table when there is a bunch of kinky people sitting there and we can talk about any subject. And that is a real difference.
And the interesting thing is our topics aren't about anal intercourse over dinner or anything. It's a much more philosophical, but there's no boundaries. I don't feel need to censor anything in these conversations.
And that's the comfort factor, is there is no boundary that you're going to run up against. And so if you happen to go a little too far, nobody's going to judge you for it.
You're going to get a strange look or two, but that's okay. You're going to give it back to them at some point.
Oh, yeah.
In the evening. But, yeah, I've just totally replaced vanillas over the years. I never had many vanillas. I've had far more kinky, though. So it's a enlightening and freeing experience.
You've been at this for 20 years, and so you have the ability to fill in a kinky friendship.
I have been at this. I have been out in the kink community for 20 years. I was kinky for many years before that, and it was a struggle. Some of my first romantic relationships didn't go well because of my kinks. When my kinks even started appearing, like I had one girlfriend that I was more than happy to share her with other guys, and she was okay first, and then she thought, and then she wasn't so okay with it. I wasn't wanting to pick the guys. I was open for her to pick her own partners. It just started going south really quickly, and to me, there was no jealousy there.
She was probably thinking, is that you're having a commitment problem?
That could have been. I thought we were solid in that area. But with a couple of teenagers, late teenagers, it obviously wasn't. Communication was still being developed in the relationship skills. And that's when I first started realizing that going vanilla just may not be the way I want to go.
One of the things that goes with this as you get older and you release some of the old monogamous ways, I know that my partner has a past. Some people call it baggage. We have loves of our life that are in the past, and I'm not willing to trade friendships and lovers and things for a new relationship because these are people that have made an impression on my life. And so I know that my wife has friends and lovers that she has known for many years. And if they come to visit and all that, and they all want to go off and in a room and have some fun, more power to them, because I know that that is who they are. And why would I say, oh, no, you can't do that. That's ridiculous. I have the same situation. And so if one of my friends comes over and wants to run off in the room and have a round with me, my partner would say, have fun, and often does.
Well, I'm blessed that many of my prior partners are still friends and close friends. We may lose touch for months or even years, but it pops back into my life, and there's that same connection. Are they replacing my current? Not at all. Do they supplement? Yes, they do. It's just part of me, and I come back to my current relationship, I think, in a better headspace for those forays into yesteryear.
So we've talked about coming out to yourself. We've talked about coming out to your friends. And you've even talked a little bit about going to your family. My mother, who has passed, I'm sure if I would have come out to her, but I didn't, she would have been okay with it. She was a woman. She had a lot of boyfriends in her day. And I guess that's where I got it. I came by it honestly, they say. And the people that know my mother would say, yep, definitely. Being I'm an only child, I didn't have a lot of brothers and sisters to run this past, or any for that matter.
Well, I had one brother, but we were cut from totally different cloth. As I said, he married his middle school sweetheart. So that was a totally different path. My parents, they just would not get it. I just know they would not get it. They would try to be understanding, but it would just nag at the back of their mind that about my future. And my grandmother, I would give her new prayer material for sure.
You know, they're going to pray that we are healed from our affliction.
Yes, they are. So we got families, we got ourselves. What about the workplace?
Ooh, that's a bit of a time bomb right there.
As I said, I think some of these social medias are time bombs waiting to to blow up on some people.
If you go fill out a application resume at a new firm, the one thing nowadays they will do is run a background check on you by a third-party service. That third-party service digs into your Facebook account and all kinds of social media, and they will do internet searches for your name, and they will put two and two together. And if they find something that they consider questionable, and guess what? Everything we're talking about here is questionable. They will flag this for your potential employer.
While your potential employer may not consider this an issue, often they will just err on the side of choosing the candidate that this is not an issue at all with.
That's right.
After you've applied for a couple of jobs in the same field and you don't get on, the rumor mill starts.
Absolutely.
And this can damage or end careers. What the future holds, I just don't know. But I believe in conformity in the workplace. I'm as kinky as they come. I dress conservative, and I'm comfortable. This is my style. Now, some people will argue their style is, and they should be able to express it. I agree with them, but there is a certain culture that is the United States corporate world. And if you want to succeed in that United States corporate world, you need to be able to navigate the culture, I believe.
Because in that corporate mix out there is conservative, religious, kinky, straight, vanilla, gay, you name it, it's in the mix. Everybody is parading around with a mask on, and they all look the same.
And we don't want all of those having their say in the corporate environment. So what right do we have that we make it all about our particular interests? It just is, as Woody said, just a conformity, a mask that everybody hides behind. Whether you're a religious fanatic or you're gay or you are kinky, it doesn't affect your job performance. So don't take it to work, is my opinion.
Speaking about affecting job performance, I had a very good friend in the lifestyle who used to duplicate the schedules for one of the local kink communities at work on the copy machine and would run off, 100 copies of it to distribute to the community and left the master in the copy machine and then was followed by another coworker.
Oh.
And was outed.
And the end outcome?
She got fired for using company resources for private purposes.
A perfectly legitimate corporate firing. Had nothing to do with her kink, but it was legitimate. Rest assured, listeners, your boss always has something they can fire you for legitimately on any given day.
That's exactly correct.
If you're showing up at work, you're doing something. You may be doing exactly following policy, following common procedure. Guess what? You're probably breaking a rule or two along the way. If they want to exploit it, they can.
I had another friend who got fired from a food service job. Kinky friend of theirs came in and they were talking, chatting it up. The supervisor overheard the conversation, said we don't like people like that in our service, and fired them.
And I'm sure they found some official reason to make it.
There's any number. And remember, in a right-to-work state, they can fire you for any reason. If they don't like the color shirt you have on, they can fire you.
And as long as they're willing to pay the unemployment, you trade a $500 a week job for $250 in unemployment and the right to find a new job.
That's right.
In a tight labor market. I do not want a religious coworker pushing their religious agenda onto me in the workplace. So I return the courtesy and don't push my kink on them in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Neither one affect our job. And things like using a copier, that's just common sense stuff.
Oh, by the way, when they come to my door and preach at me at my door, then I return the favor.
Well, I say I want to go first. My views, most of them have, after about a minute, maybe two, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They figure this is not worth it.
It's like a missionary repellent.
It works well, too.
Yeah.
It works well. Coming out at work, I personally don't see the reason that you need to do it. That's not a work topic. But if you're going to do it, just realize the repercussions and are you willing to be responsible and accept the repercussions of your behavior? And that is what we always talk about in the kink community is being aware of the risk and accepting the responsibility for those risks. And blaming the company because they didn't want your drama isn't exactly always fair. Is it fair for them to get a hint that you're kinky and fire you? No, it's not. But when you're flagrant about it, I think you are creating a spectacle at your job.
Keep in mind, the one thing that we aren't is protected federally by other groups such as the gay GBLT group, which has some federal protections in some areas.
The gay protections vary from state to state, city to city in some cases. The federal has certain limited protections in certain cases. It's not widespread by any means. I know here in the city we record in, the local government just passed a partners benefits plan for city workers. This is years behind what some other communities have, and it drew quite a bit of fire, but they had two or three prior attempts, and they let that take all the real anger, and this one sailed through fairly smoothly. It's all these years, and we can't even agree among ourselves. Are we a lifestyle? Are we a sexual orientation? Are we in the kink community? We can't agree what we are. Expecting us to get any kind of protection for us is not a reasonable belief at this point when we can't even agree.
This is very true, and the employers do not want to get wrapped up in the drama. If there is a state or federal mandate to protect a certain type of person that is considered in a minority, and we're certainly, us kinksters are in a minority, but we're not organized, folks. It's just us saying that we are. It's just us out here being kinksters, and so we have no state or federal protections. Keep that in mind when you're in a right-to-work state. if they don't like the color of your hair, eyes, shirt, whatever, you're out the door.
And for me, it goes back to we are working in a corporate environment, and I expect the people that I interact with in a corporate environment to, in a professional environment, to maintain professional standards in their dress and their behavior. And I just expect that. Now, is my standards more flexible than others? Yes, but there is a limit to even my flexibility. Certain clothing and certain slogans, I don't think have a place in the work environment.
But that's okay. I'll use the company computer to communicate with FetLife and things like that. That's not a problem, right?
Well, I know you posed it as a rhetorical question, Woody. I do believe that there are those out there that, and I'm corresponding with a young lady right now who sends emails on her work PC, and she thinks that is clear because her IT, she doesn't think, is monitoring her email, even though they get somewhat racy. And I don't believe that. She's probably working in a small enough company. I think they have 12 employees. So they probably don't have an IT guy, and they don't have sophisticated monitoring software on their system, because their system is probably a couple of routers plugged into a Wi-Fi modem. But if you work for a company that has any type of tech, you have IT, they are screening everything for keywords.
My best friend has a T-shirt. He's a network administrator. It says, "I read your mail."
And this is true. They don't read every line, but they read the reports they get. And I sent an email that was a little racy when I wasn't thinking so clearly to a person that worked in a large Fortune 500 company. And the email got sent back to me that they didn't accept it because I put a couple of spicy words into the email. Ooh. But they didn't accept my email even. So there was a report generated out there that this email was rejected and this was the cause and that this was the recipient.
Mm-hmm.
There was no repercussions on the recipient side, but I learned a lesson that don't send the stuff to a company email address. If there's a company email address, they probably have some type of monitoring in place.
Assume they do, because a lot of companies are, you know, multinational. There are companies that have headquarters in very conservative places in the world, and they don't appreciate us heathens communicating over the network this way. Just put it in neutral. That's why you have a phone on your break. Go out and, connect to the internet in a way you would away from the private network.
And then just let the NSA read it, and the NSA is so far behind that it'll be a couple of years before they get around to you.
Besides that, they need something to spice up their life. I couldn't imagine sitting there trying to deal with that.
Well, again, it's reports. They read reports, and when a report shows something interesting, they go and read the actual email. And I don't believe that on the open internet, even though I believe the NSA is recording almost everything on it, that they have time to read individual emails. I think they just look for the scan reports, and when it says certain keywords like blow up,
mm-hmm.
that pops up to the top of the pile, and they will dig a little bit deeper, but when they see that there's no activity.
And words like having sex is probably not on their radar.
No, they are worried about destruction, not procreation.
Oh, that's it, yes.
And Woody, this brings us to a very touchy subject.
Uh-oh.
Many of our listeners, many of our community members have real families.
Right.
Of their own.
Mm-hmm.
They have little ones running around the house of various ages, from young to teenagers. So everybody has to also be thinking, if they're in that position, they have to think about how much they want their children to see and be extra careful. Their children know more than they know, and what are they going to be telling their friends and their friends telling their parents?
And the social workers at school.
And the social workers at school. This is a real thing to be thoughtful of is leaving your toys out. You might feel your toys are innocuous and so forth. And there might be a couple of spoons on the bed and some scarves on the corners. But how do the kids perceive those? When they are talking to their friends, do they say, "Mommy likes to tie Daddy up and spank him"? That suddenly starts getting twisted and turned, and all of a sudden you got a whole can of worms, and you got some parents say, "I'm just not comfortable having Johnny come over to play with my kids anymore."
For some reason, undisclosed. Go back to when I was younger, and, you know, I was all over the house looking at things and finding stuff, and, geez, I found Dad's condoms in his drawer. I don't know if somebody went through my house right now what they'd find, but I guarantee it would be more than condoms in a drawer.
When I was growing up, I found my mother's stash of porn. Pretty good porn, too, for the day. So that was rather interesting, but that was all that I found. And I never heard any sounds or saw anything out of the ordinary. But I don't think that's the case in most households today. You have to wonder what when the kids go to school and they make a comment on the playground and that gets overheard and they're called into the guidance officer, all of a sudden they're talking about stuff they don't know what they're talking about, and everybody's ears perk up.
I'll never forget the day I found Dad's stag films. And I found them when my friends and I were down in the basement watching cartoons and different things, and I loaded this thing up and put it on the projector. And there were three people in that room that their mouths fell open when the images came up on the screen. And I said, "Wait a minute, I got to take this off." And they said, "Nope, keep it going."
And that was 8mm, I bet.
No, my dad was very advanced. He was 16mm.
Ooh, yeah. that was high quality.
High quality stuff.
I actually went to a theater in my youth before I should have been there. They were showing 16mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember those well. I had a box of eights in the projector.
The quality of these things, the production value, was just awful compared to today's stuff. Even the amateur stuff we see on the internet is light years ahead of this stuff.
Production values? Production values?
Well, there it is.
they were low and flexible.
And the thing is, back in those days, they had to get it done in a 10-minute reel.
In a 10-minute reel, and the processing was not very exacting. So the color quality and the grain and all sorts of the stuff was out the roof.
Oh, color? Really? This one was black and white that I saw.
You have a year or two on me. Okay,
fine.
Yeah.
You know, Dad had some vintage stuff.
Vintage. But so, parents, my opinion is because you're open and comfortable, consider how it looks to your children and how they're going to convey it to their peers. I'm all for being open with your children about sexuality and having real discussions that lead to a healthy understanding. But, you know, these have to be tempered with how they could be misconstrued by people that weren't involved in the whole discussion.
In other words, if you have it in the house, the kids will find it.
The kids will find it.
And then what?
Then it's time for a conversation, like it or not.
We need to stop short of having Department of Child Services come over and take your kids away.
Well, I actually taught a class for a number of years to social workers at the university level. And the whole purpose of the class was to go in and demonize us as a community and make the social workers realize that we were their neighbors, we were their friends, we were possibly them. When they had those calls to go and look at the big picture, not focus on a few small details, but look at the big picture. Because when you focus on the small details, you can always find something in every household that is going to be a problem. But if you look at the big picture, is it a supportive, loving home? And you find that's the case, then, you know, It's a healthy outlet. And even in the, what are we on, DSM-5?
DSM-5,
they are saying we're no longer a mental problem. So, you know, it's healthy, as long as it's healthy. And remember, that's in the view of the observer, though.
So on that note, we're going to let you go back to your kinkiness. Enjoy, be as open as you feel is necessary and is healthy and safe for you. On behalf of the Beast.
Thank you, Woody. We have to, I want to remind people, we have some great shows coming up in the future. Self and the creator of a website that we all love, I think, is booked in very soon. And we have swingers and pollies, and we may be visiting a house party and actually recording at the house party. So we have lots of interesting things coming up.
And we have a interesting fellow named Sideshow Benny.
Oh, yes, Benny. I've seen his adult-only show on more than one occasion, and what he does with a standard household iron is amazing.
Household what?
Iron. Like you,
iron, yes.
Yes, like you iron your clothes with. Yes, and then he does the human dartboard and Sideshow Benny. He's literally a geek.
This is going to be a fun show. Plus, in the upcoming shows, we have The Dominant Guide coming up.
We have Sarah Miles, who will be coming with us from New Mexico. She's with PEP, and she's a driving force in the New Mexico community. And we hope to get up into Chicago for a visit in the near future. So we got stuff going on.
In next week's Self Wrap-Up, we have Laura Antoniou, who did an interview with us in our studio at the hotel, which was very interesting on her writings and what have you. I asked her about her T-shirt that she was wearing. It said Middle Age Guard on it, and I asked her to elaborate, and she did. Got to hear that in next week's show. For now, that's it for me, and...
And the Beast. Have a fun, kinky week.
You have been listening to episode 23 of the Kinky Cast. Today we heard our hosts debate the kinky coming out process. We want to hear from you with your comments or questions. So email us questions@kinkycast.com or call and leave a voicemail at 916-KINKY69. If you leave a contact number, we will try to reach you to join us on the show. Some listeners want to remain completely anonymous, so we have the Bashful tab on our webpage. Just type your message and hit send. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody and the Beast, I'm Max. Next week, the Southeast Leather Fest Wrap-Up Extravaganza.